Purpose of this meeting tonight is to review the regulations on pursuing of permits for a game of chance and skills. Mr. Berry is representing the ALIVE, and will protesting, or is not in agreement with the resolution or regulations. So, Mr. Berry, whenever you're ready, why?
Thank you.
I say, if you have to have that open, why don't you sit over the side here then?
Well, no, I was. These are for your members. That's one. But I wish, Mr. Chairman,
before you start, I want to also introduce Gary Jenkins from the Revenue Department and Sachs. The Revenue Department. Representative Freeman, Representative Kelly, Senator Willis, and Mr. Berry. Okay, Mr. Berry.
I've already presented this here. And what I really think is that what you should look at is what the Act itself is concerned about. Chamber of Commerce, Junior Chamber, you know, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, American Heart, everyone else. And I don't want to read the piston on the rhythm, right? Specifically asking that you address yourself to 15AAC 300.
Can you, instead of we don't have time to read this, can you state now just what your objections are?
I tried to present my objections in each department for specific provisions in the Act that I feel the administration is exceeding the authority. Chairman, I would very much like to have any representative from the Department of Administration or the Department of Revenue, Mr. Jenkins' department, comment on these matters. Open part, right?
Well, now would you just give us a starting point, your main objections? Specifically, and we can go from there. We'll have the. So, in lieu of us reading this all, we just summarize on the.
Well, 4 pin for, I think, for 5 pin, 570. Mr. Chairman, the whole act was considered to be for helping people, you know, letting them help whatever things they had to do. The present department has begun to put very stringent manners in those or get Native associations or other purposes, you know.
Was your one main objection into the amount of money that they would not be
right
to issue
because
you
I don't
a
think the legislature ever grant that authority for the money?
So as I understand, your one complaint that you don't pay was out there. Not issuing a permit because you had gross over $30,000 last year. And that was...
Mr. Chairman, I'm not asking you to decide on that kind of matter at all. What I'm suggesting is that the legislature itself should address itself as to how much power they're going to get with the administrator. You know? For whatever they're going to do.
I think at this time we'll have the revenue department, we'll see the spokesman for the revenue department to move up here and clarify his resolutions of why and how you feel that these are justified and the limitations and stipulations that you have put into them. This Senator Sumner. Have here
Chair
Berry from the
Teamsters
and
yeah, let's
keep on the Mr. Stagg and Mr. Jenkins from the Federal Department.
Mr. Chairman, you wish me to just to address 410 of the regulation, just that one specifically, or how do you want to proceed?
Well, right, the thing is that they have made a complaint against the regulations. And we respect you, and if you will justify these regulations, and that they are in accordance with the law as was intended.
Okay. Again, I have to go a little bit, Mr. Chairman, on what I've been told, since I'm a fairly newcomer to this arena of games of chance and skill, for example. And that is going back to the original history of this law. And the original history is I've been able to piece it together talking with people that have been in the administration for several years and so forth, was to provide a vehicle whereby basically nonprofit organizations could raise money through the bingo, through raffles, and this type of a thing. And the intent was that it be a exclusive use, this type of thing, for non-profit charitable purposes. And that it obviously is, again, from what I understand, Governor Egan was very much against the whole concept because he was afraid it would open up to gambling and widespread gambling. And so that's why there are several very restrictive phrases that were written into the law when it was originally passed in 1960. And the regulations were drawn up immediately thereafter that were also very restrictive. Now, in regard to 410 specifically, which is an issue that we've been going around with the folks that I've with for several years, but in the old regulations, which the new one is a minor revision of, the old regulation had a limit, and again, this was written in 1960 or 1961 and has been on the books ever since, that in holding raffles and lotteries, the permittee could not raffle prizes in excess of the value of $15,000.
Crystal correct.
Yeah, which includes
well, that.
Well, that's okay. Through the chair, because we're not going to have a...
Okay, the old regulation said cannot raffle prizes of personal property in excess of the sum or value of $15,000 or real property in excess of the value of $30,000. Okay, recognizing that several years have passed since this regulation was originally enacted, we came back and said, okay, that, you know, inflation has at least doubled that value, so we should be reasonable and raise the limits to at least recognize the transition of time and the change in the value of dollars. So when we rewrote 410, we raised this value for personal property up to $30,000 and for real property up to $50,000, feeling that this still would follow the intent of the law and keep a reasonable cap on the operation of games, in this case specifically on raffles, so that it doesn't become a widespread thing where people could just really open up a gambling operation, which is not the intent of the law. And that's merely all we did. We changed from 15 to 30,000 on personal property, and we changed from 30 to 50,000 on real property as the limits of what an organization could raffle off and give in the form of prizes in one particular year.
And that's just the rest of the regulations about what they were prior for this
Yes, sir, with one exception. Reference has been made to what is now a new 510, and this is the whole concept here is to deal with what has been a significant problem area in the past. When they wrote the old regulations, that provision was all it used to say was that net proceeds means gross income from sale of tickets or rights to participate in authorized activity, whether sold in advance of the occasion or not, less authorized expenses which are directly connected with the operation of the activity. And that's all the regulation spoke to when it was talking about how you get the net proceeds. And there's been a lot of problems in this. People haven't really understood when they tried to prepare the financial statements, what can I take? And so we tried to come back and speak to this issue and say, hey, you know, so that everybody understands what the guideline is, what are allowable expenses that relate to the games, we'll expand this and detail them out so that there's no question on either side. And it makes it a lot easier for people that don't understand all the complexities of accounting and so forth to go to a line and it has a specific item on it and they know what's supposed to be there and what they can deduct and so forth, so that we don't have problems when they do file the return of having to disallow things because they didn't understand the law, which was very unclear.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not following very well here. When was the change in the regulations made that Alive now objects to that they didn't object to before? When did this come about?
Yes. Chair of permission, sir. Again, this is a problem that we've had now for 3 years. 2 years ago, we denied Alive's permit, and they came in and pled ignorance and lack of understanding of the law, and the commissioner's office reissued it. Okay, last year, they came in with an application, and we again denied it on the same basis under the old regulation. They went to the Attorney General's office again, pled ignorance, misunderstanding, bias of the law, or the regulation which has been on the books for all these years, and signed an agreement with the Attorney General's office basically saying, one, that we'd also had several other problems of misuse of net proceeds and so forth. The agreement says that they, one, would disperse net proceeds the way they ought to, and I believe specifically also spoke to this other issue. But it's not a brand new issue that has just come to the surface.
May I interrupt, Mr. Chairman, just to be sure I get it? But under the regulations that were on the books, Alive went along for a certain number of years after 1960 and had no problems, right?
Well, the issue originally came up in 1970.
Okay, but from what I'm trying to get straight in my mind is we had the law on the books, we had regulations, and Alive didn't have any problems. And then come a time when they had problems. When was that? When did that start?
Well, I'm just looking to see when they first had the permit. I see it looks appearance like their first permit was in 1970. Well,
first year.
I have no record, and I wasn't aware of any being destroyed beyond 1970. It's the oldest record that we have in the file relating to them. At that time, they were known as Drive instead of Alive. They changed their name subsequently.
Mr. Chairman, do you understand my question?
Well, you're trying to
find out when the problem started.
Yes.
That's what I want to know.
The problem started in 1971, when their financial statements were reviewed by Commissioner Wolfworth. Had come in and had asked that they all be reviewed, and as a result of that, Alive, then Drive, correction, was notified that they were in violation of the law.
No, you're incorrect. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would like to make really into the section that what he's speaking about. Commissioner Wolforth is the only person here who has held administrative procedures hearings over the very questions raised that this man's talking about. And they were all resolved. That's why we got our commit every year.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still back. This question hasn't been answered, and I'm still curious to know, when were the regulations promulgated that has now generated the problem that we're sitting here with tonight?
1972, effective, I think.
Now, answer the questions, right?
Okay, two sets of regulations. The original set was enacted or promulgated in 60 or 61.
No, 60.
And then there have been some very minor revisions since then, but of the specific provisions that we're talking about,
right,
we just revised them this year, 1976, effective November 6th was the effective date. And the only change was to increase the limits that they could, on the amount of prizes that they could award during any given year.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Berry, when, maybe I get a more direct answer from you, when was the regulations promulgated that's causing the problem that you think you're having with them now?
The first time that they've even ever held administrative regulations under the Act has been in this past year, which were effective in November of 1977.
And is that the ones that you're concerned about right now?
Yes.
Did they do anything other than to increase the limit of the prizes?
Yeah, they made 14 substantial changes. Really.
14 changes.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Roughly, that's correct. We changed several sections, and I believe it probably would be approximately 14 that we rewrote. Now, some of this, or several of these changes, were a specific result of the law that was passed last year that we had to modify, which allowed, quote unquote, political organizations to be a qualified organization, allow a labor organization to be a qualified organization, broaden slightly the definition of what you could use net proceeds for. We had to rewrite this to speak to these things, and that's what most of the rest of the new sections were speaking to, were the law changes, so that the regulations would, in fact, correspond with the new law that was enacted last year.
Okay, but the Alive has a problem with the regulation that was promulgated and put into effect on November the 6th of last year. Is that?
That is correct. Now, again, they're objecting to specifically one, which is 1505-410. And the only thing that we did to that regulation is that we increased the amount that they could give away from 15,000 to 30,000 for personal property.
That's incorrect.
Mr. Chairman, that didn't sound right. I don't see why Alive would be complaining simply because they've increased the limit of the prizes that they could give away.
Mr.
Berry, Mike, could
Mr. Berry, thanks for your opportunity to speak now. We have asked you to make the opening statement. And so now if you'll state really what your objections are. You've heard testimony from
I have written it down for you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, but if you would give us the rest of them, I'll have to read through this.
You want me to read this?
No, but you have made, when it was answered, then you've answered.
What I'm saying is that really the department itself has been remiss. They have never held administrative procedures hearings in order to change the law or to change any standards under the things we've operated under all these years. You know?
Yes,
may I?
Yes.
Now, specifically in regard to the regulations that were adopted effective on November obviously we had to meet the terms of the Administrative Procedures Act, and the hearings were held in Juneau in August and in Anchorage in September. In fact, Mr. Berry was the only person to come forward and testify during the course of that hearing.
And I noticed that what they say in their amended laws is that was amended in September instead of November, you know? Mr. Chairman, I am not arguing for a lie. Do you understand?
No,
what they're doing, these regulatory are doing something that's contrary to the legislative intent of this act. For all people, not just us, all people.
Well, isn't, Mr. Berry, that the main one is on the amount. If there wasn't no amount set, you'd have no problem getting your permit that way. This I'm trying to get straight first. Right. What is holding up the permit?
Well,
and it's the amount of money that you've taken in.
That's correct.
And out of all the regulations that they put down, but this is the one that is holding up. If that one had been eliminated or had been creased, you wouldn't be having this problem. Is that not correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
What they have done in the past, and if I understand it correctly, the only change they have made in that respect is raising it from $15,000 to $30,000. And the rail property from, I don't have it here in front of me now, but was...
Mr. Chairman? Could I speak?
Yes.
I was an assistant commissioner of revenue in those days, you know, and cash was never the problem. The problem was personal and real property, because that was a way that things could be diverted, you know. Never was cash mentioned until 2 years ago, when the Department of Revenue, among other things, began to talk about this. And it's the first time it ever came up. First time ever.
Prior to this, and I guess I lost that, there was no real or personal property. It was any amount.
Yes. Real and personal property were very specifically mentioned, because those are things with title attached to. Never was cash attached.
Then the one thing that I was wondering about now, with other lotteries and pools that come under this, for example, the Ice Classic gives away much more money.
It's covering the specific provisions to itself. And then, this is raffles and lotteries other than the Ice Classic, which has a separate section.
Then I was going to also include bingo. Now, bingo, okay. Many of them gross as much more than 30.
All right, again, the provision, and bingo also has its separate provisions. It has its separate limitations on the amount of prizes that can be awarded and so forth. And this is not a limitation on how much they take in. It's a limitation on how much they give out. Again, the concept was to limit the gambling aspect of it, and so they could not give prizes, again, in the original regulations, in excess of $15,000 if it was personal property, or $30,000 if it was real property.
That's not true.
I want to ask a few more questions to get clear in my mind. For example, I'm sure some of these bingo concerns take in much more than the $30,000 a year. If I understand that this has to be given away as a charitable or some means, or this is something they can use in a building fund or anything else. And so if they're taking this in, they must be giving out more than the $30,000, are they not? And if they are, then they're in violation. Otherwise, they're just bankrolling a bunch of money. Is this a lie?
Okay, again, there's a whole separate section that deals with bingo operations, because bingo was a specialty type operation in itself. And the limitations on bingo used to be that there could not be a prize in excess of $1,000 for a single prize or a series of prizes in one night. You could not give out more than $3,000. Again, just a limitation on the total payouts, so it did not become a high-stakes operation.
What's the aggregate amount?
There's no aggregate placed on bingo.
Yes, there are nine times that you can do that, right? Nine times that you can operate the bingo operations
a month.
a month.
That is correct.
12 months.
So
times,
six
times,
three.
Times 324,000 those days, and now it's 540,000, right?
Well, there's no question of what the total payout can be more, because there's more games held. Okay, when we rewrote the regulation on bingo, we retained the single prize award of $1,000 maximum, and the total prizes for a night could be no more than $5,000. So we're basically, again, following the original concept that was developed in the original law, or in the original regulations. We assume, since those regulations were issued in 1960, almost immediately after the law was passed, and that they had never been subject to review by the legislature or subject to change by the legislature, that they were very much in concert with the legislature's intent. We have tried to follow that intent that was embodied in the original regulations, but have just raised the amounts to what we felt were reasonable in light of today's dollar values as compared to 1960.
Are we getting into an area? Are you defining something differently? Is that the problem?
The problem is what is personal property is what it almost boils down to. As far as I'm concerned, there is no question that cash is personal property. All definitions of personal property would include cash. Well, and there's only two types of property that I'm ever aware of,
personal
and I've ever run into in anywhere, in personal and real property. And in tax law, in normal definitions, in a dictionary, wherever we have looked, personal property includes cash, intangible assets. Those are all items of personal property.
Well, Mr. Berry, then how does Alive view cash? Do they feel that it should not be included in this $30,000 and $50,000 figure?
Mr. Chairman, respectfully, Mr. Kelly, I would really like you to look at the first page of what the Act itself says. Junior Chamber of Commerce, Commerce, Kiwanis, Rotary Club, Salvation Army, all of these organizations, really, because what they were speaking about, that was the first original act to include all these people to spend their funds for their goal. What I'm submitting to is that he's, and I don't mean to say him at all, the department is trying to push their will over what I think is the legislative intent, really. There was never a question of cash. I was an assistant commissioner of revenue in the first state of Davis when Commissioner Peter Gatz passed this act and held the hearings. This lousy outfit has never held any hearings until last year, and I would like to ask how many people even testified because they don't even notify them, you know? Terrible thing to me, really. And I'm very upset.
Mr. Chairman,
sorry,
I'm still having problems.
Me too.
Let's start back, Mr. Berry, with the on the first page of your presentation here,
yes, sir.
Which would qualify under that Chamber of Commerce, Union, so forth.
Right.
And just a quick scan down through here, I don't see. I don't see labor or political. That's correct, right?
That's right.
All right, then, as I understand it, at a later time, and I think I was in the legislature at the time, we added labor and political to that list. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And during the time that the original, all these that are designated on the first page, all the time that it was limited to this, there was no problems. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then, after the time that we added labor and political, then we came with a new definition of the regulations that cause problems. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mr. Jenkins shakes his head.
Again, as I pointed out, the problem has been with us for 3 years. The law was just changed last year. This is the third year that we have denied a permit for the same reason. You know, it has nothing to do with the definition of the organization.
All right, Mr. Chairman, may I go back? I guess I'm a little thick skull tonight, but I'm having a bit of a problem getting this straight in my mind. All right, then let's go back to Mr. Jenkins, then, to the original act, the Chamber of Commerce, Junior Chamber of Commerce, before we got into labor and political. Why didn't they have problems in those days? Was it because, according to the regulation-making body, in this case the Department of Revenue, they felt that there wasn't enough money involved to make it a problem, or what? I'm trying to get straight in my mind where the change came about and why.
Well, I believe, you know, as far as they're qualifying, Alive Drive, previously now Alive, is a separate organization, not part of the Teamsters. They're just, for my benefit,
an organization. So.
Right. Okay. And you must understand that they do not fit either the definition of a labor union or a political party. They do not fit either definition. They actually are coming in as an educational group. And that's how they, you know, for the education of people and so forth. And they've come in that way ever since they originally filed. I'm not sure what date that was, but they've been getting a permit for several years.
Mr. Jenkins.
Correct. Anyhow, they do not qualify. The issue of whether they are a labor union or a political party is not an issue because they positively do not meet the specific requirements of the law as it was written last year. The law, yes, sir.
Not the regulation.
No, the law.
Let me see. That's what I was going to say.
It would seem 16 years, you mean, we have never met the definition of a qualified labor union. Is that correct, Mr.
No,
Jenkins?
That's not what I said.
Well, your interpretation now is that we do not need it. Is that correct?
No, sir. That is not an issue. It has never been an issue.
I only have one talking at one time, please.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry.
The issue, Mr. Chairman, has nothing to do with their qualifications. We have never challenged their basic qualifications to have a permit. One of the requirements in the law is that they use the net proceeds in accordance with the statute and with the regulations. The very specific regulation is on the books and has been since 1960, which places a limit on the amount that can be raffled off in any given year.
Is Mr. Chairman, may I, just so I can follow, is that a statute or is that?
Okay, that is a regulation.
A regulation or a statute?
Regulation that has existed since 1960. That's when it was. The law came in. The regulation was written later in the same year.
But what I'm trying to get straight in my mind is, you know, by regulations you make law, but the legislators make law, and I'm trying
That's
to find
correct.
Out what you're making law okay. and what we're making okay. law, the difference
no,
is
the statute did not place a specific dollar limit on how much could be raffled off, how much could be paid out in a bingo. Right. Later in the same year, the regulations were generated which placed these limits on these areas. So much could be raffled, so much could be given as prizes in bingo games and so forth. Those regulations have stood since 1960 until 1976, at which time we raised the dollar amounts. That's all we did, is raise the dollar amounts in that regulation as to how much could be raffled off and how much could be given in bingo
That's
operation.
Mr. Chairman, I have a problem with that statement because you changed some definitions in this thing. In the one that's prior to 1976, It says in section 410.4, in holding, operating, conducting raffles or lotteries, no permittee shall raffle prizes of personal property in excess of the sum of or value of $15,000, et cetera, and real property in excess of the sum of $30,000.
That's correct.
When you go to the new one, the ones that went into effect in November of 76.
February this year.
It goes, in holding, operating, and conducting raffles or lotteries, a permittee may not raffle prizes of personal property, but then you add, which wasn't in the last ones, including cash or a negotiable instrument. So you haven't just changed the dollar figures. You have changed, I would say, some definitions in there.
Well, the only reason we added that is so that it would be absolutely crystal clear. That is not a change in regulation. It's merely a clarifying phrase. Personal property, by any definition, whether that's in there or not, includes cash.
Mr. Chairman?
It always has. You know, just there are no definitions that do not include cash as personal property anywhere existent.
Well, I examined for the whole law. There is no other thing for cash, Mr. Jenkins. Mr. Chairman, I want to tell you something, because really. We have a hearing in with Mr. Jenkins' officers in the Department of Revenue and settled this question one time in 1975. Really, about the cash was not a part of a title or part of anything that transferred. They did not deny us our permit for that reason. Changed it, you know? They're doing the same things that I'm trying to say. That the legislature is explicit in what they do. And they give very broad general powers to the commission, and they should, to protect the best interest of the public. But anything more than that, I think, is a very gross misdemeanor on the whole act.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
We almost keep going around in circles. Let me just labor you for a minute.
Okay.
What problem are you aware of that Alive has with getting a permit? What problem are they having getting a permit or keeping a permit?
Well, because they again violated a specific regulation.
What did they do?
They raffled prizes. I believe it was in the amount of $80,000 for the prizes they awarded last year, which are in excess of the old limit, significantly of the new limit, still significant.
Okay, they raffled $80,000 in prizes last year, and the limit is what?
Under the old regulations, it's $15,000. The current regulations are $30,000.
Okay. Now, before, and that, this is because it includes cash, I presume.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, was there any enforcement, or were they able to raffle cash before and it not be included in this definition change?
No. They have done it before. And, again, they have done it for I'm not sure how many years, because I don't know exactly how long they've had it. Now, what has happened in the past is that this law, as well as other laws, have just been on the books and have not been enforced. And one of the things that we've started to do in the Department of Revenue in the last 2 or 3 years is enforce the laws the way they're written.
Okay, so it's fair then to say that it's your impression that the law has always been there.
That's correct.
But it could be assumed that since they weren't being enforced, if somebody wasn't aware of these regulations or how they were being interpreted, and they went out and raffled off more than the limit and wasn't called up short for it, that they could make the assumption that these regulations are responsible for the dilemma. Is that?
Well, except, Senator, we denied their permit in 1974 because of this problem, and then we came back and said, okay, mm-hmm. We recognize that we have not enforced this in the past uniformly. So we will give you the permit.
But it was for that reason that you denied it in 74. And did you deny it again since that time?
We denied it again in 1975.
That's a lie.
No, I'm not going to have them interrupting. Anyone who's speaking, they're going to have their chance to speak without interruption.
And when these were denied, were they subsequently given the permit, subsequently issued to them?
They were given the permit. And
so for 17 years, they've had a permit, let's say, for... Even though there might have been some problems or some arguments back and forth, they've had a permit for 17 years.
For an unknown period of time. I'm not sure 17 is a valid figure. But you know, last year they received the permit after a specific agreement was signed with the Attorney General's office in which they agreed to disperse the proceeds that they had in accordance with the law that was then on the books, which was another major issue that we've been involved in, another major
issue. Did they do this?
I have not seen their final financial statement, so I have not looked at it, but I don't believe that's a problem because it has not been brought up as an issue this year.
And so we're faced again, or they're faced again with the same problem, is that they're being denied a permit at this time.
That is correct. And I might point out again, they are the only organization in the state that has this problem. We do not have it with anybody else. We have 300 and almost 400 permittees. Nobody else has a problem in the area. We never have had a problem in this area with the exception of a lot.
Okay, so their total, though, for the year is $30,000 that they can...
That is correct.
Okay, but in bingo, it's possible to do $324,000.
That is also correct.
Where is the authority that come from that you set up these figures of $15,000? And this isn't in law, right? This is regulation?
That is correct. That is regulation.
Why did they set up the figures? Where does it say in the law that you will set up a top limit on this?
No,
You may have a copy of the law.
Is there any statutory authority whatsoever for establishing those limits?
I'm going to ask your indulgence, because we're going into an executive meeting for a few minutes.
Okay.
And if there was, please step out.
Can I get that one question answered first?
And then we can come back and even get it back. It'll just be for a,
okay,
for a moment. Yeah. We had a meeting, and there's quite a bit of material here to read and to study and to go over. And we're going to recess this hearing until Tuesday night at 7:30. And that'll give each of us in the committee a chance to, and if during this time, if either you have more input you want to give to the committee, then you can, we know now on what lines that we are going and thinking where the problem is. We can concentrate a little bit more on that, and if you have more to bring forth at that time and add, well, then you can. You don't just want what's going to be the same way with you, Mr. Berry, that you can bring it forth. And I do have a full close that Senator Kelly did have a question that
I still am trying to find out where under the statute you had the authority to limit Section 410 to $30,000.
Okay, there's the broad authority that's in 0515060 of the statute.
There's an 0515060.
Right. Fairly close to the front of it, the statute writing itself. Okay, and this is still in the original law, which said that the commissioner had to adopt the regulation not later than September 7, 1960, the legislature even told him when he had to apply. And such things as, you know, the issuance of permits and so forth. The one that we presume that they were using and which has been referenced in the past as far as when they were putting the limitations on the prizes was number 7, which is the method, manner of conducting the activity and awarding of prizes or awards and the equipment which may be used.
That's the authority for which you set the limits on the...
Other matters that the commissioner feels necessary to protect the interests of the public.
Mr. Chairman, I would only ask Mr. Jenkins if there are any other organizations that have gone over $15,000 limit in prices during those years. 15 years. Any other organization?
Well, as I said before, we were going to recess, but I did give Representative Kelly the privilege of having it. I'm not trying to cut him off, but we have said we're going to recess under these conditions.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
He is satisfied. We will recess until 7:30 on Tuesday evening. And I want to thank you for coming,
every one of you. I appreciate it very much.
Do you have that one?
This one.
Oh, there.
Where's your evidence?
Diane, would you hold this for me, please, so that I don't have to keep my office.
Sure.
Somebody else have this other copy of this naked woman's copy.
There were two copies.
Maybe it's in my thing there. Look at
mine.
I'd
like to have that in my folder.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
That's all I have. I don't need it.
I'll get down. Let me check my folder. You can leave these here if you want. You can have or if you want to take them with you.
I'll take them up. No, I'll be going to my office. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, this, there's your...